Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. It's a Bucks Tuesday. We can thank our friends at Frontier Motor Cars for that, your new car alternative on South 27th Street. Get your car, get your credit, and a warranty too. FrontierMotorCars.net. Gary Wolfel to join us around 8:17. Bucks GM John Horst to join us around 8:35. Got a lot to talk to him about, what moves the Bucks could still be making, and what Joe Prunty has to do to become the next coach of the Milwaukee Bucks on a full-time basis.
Joe, printing money, Prunty.
Exactly. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. But a little Brewers to get into as we're very excited, right?
Oh, without doubt.
And if you want to talk World Series, some people are going to go there. If you want to talk NL Central, some people are going to go there. If you want to talk Wild Card, some people are going to go there. If you want to talk go over 500 and not make the playoffs, some people are going to go there. But I don't know if anybody right now is going where they don't think the Brewers are going to at least be 500. So are we setting ourselves up for a little bit of a disappointment?
Well, there hasn't been too much in our recent lifetime here that both there's high expectations for the Brewers and Bucks at this time of the year. I mean, I guess when they got Greinke in 2011.
The more these teams play well, you know, the easier it is for them to let us down.
Yeah, but the Brewers have done, I mean, there's unless there's injuries, but the Brewers have put themselves in such good position coming off last year. Last year was not a fluke. And, I mean, I'm curious about a couple of guys on that team. And I think a couple of guys are even going to get better on this team. You know, guys like Arcia. And I think, will Travis Shaw equally what he did last year. And his, you know, Thames, you know, got off to that great start and then, you know, finished with 30, 31 home runs. But I think the team has put themselves in the offseason. Now, they had not done much, but I think with these two acquisitions, they put themselves, adding those two big pieces, and I thought clutch hitting was a big part of the problem last year, as I told you. They've set us up for making a run at a division, at a postseason berth this year.
414-799-1250. Let's go out to the northwest side of town. Check in with Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Your enthusiasm for the Brewers season was a topic of conversation yesterday, and they thought you were a little too enthusiastic.
Who's they?
Who's that?
The boys on the afternoon show.
No, of course not.
Oh, as my old friend Mike used to call the Chicken Little Big Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here's my point. I think we're overthinking the Yu Darvish signing, because for $25 million, I mean, every time I look, this guy is hurt. And it just seems like, you know, when a guy keeps getting hurt, even if it's for a little bit, you're looking at how many games is this guy going to end up pitching for the Cubs? And I just think I think they reached on this guy. And to be honest, I still don't want Jake Arrieta. I think he's too old. The two guys that you mentioned, the two younger guys, might be a possibility. But and trading for one, a young pitcher, might be a great idea. But I wouldn't. But I just think that Darvish was at 31, and he's starting to get hurt more. It's kind of like watching Ryan Brown on the mound. You know, all of a sudden now, he's spending time on the DL. He's missing assignments, and for $25 million, I wouldn't have paid that.
I think 31. When you're a 31-year-old pitcher, I don't think you're over the hill by any means. that's when you should just be at the peak of your career. And with Arrieta, he pitched better the second part of the season than he did in before the All-Star
break. Some
of
these dudes pitch until they're 40.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bartolo Colon, I think, just signed with the team again.
And he's like 70.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they're the same age, basically. I think Darvish is one of the two is like 6 months older than the other. But Arrieta, I saw where Boris, his agent, is looking for 6 years, $165 million. Are you kidding me?
Six for 165?
At one point, was looking for that. Now, how about this?
Wait, so if Darvish got 6 for 150,
yeah,
tops, that's the best case scenario for you.
Boris was looking for a little higher than that.
Oh, you're at like 30 mil.
I know.
28, 29 mil.
He's not going to get it. He's just not going to get it.
No way. No,
I saw John Smoltz on MLB Network said this about Arrieta. Maybe Arrieta needs to take two contracts. For the two remaining contracts of his career, instead of one contract, he said, because starting pitchers, they all want the 6-7 year deal, but maybe Arrieta needs to take a 3 year deal, and then not that he's got to prove himself again, but then on top of that, if he has three great years, then he could finish out with another 3 year deal. Or 4 year deal.
Yeah, but guys don't want to take that risk. That's what they're fighting for, is that 6th, 7th, 8th
exactly,
year.
Exactly.
But you look at Albert Pujols and the 10-year deal he signed.
But it could also work against you. What if he puts up three great years? I always think with the incentives, if you get a 6-year contract making $150 million. Now, Darvish has got some incentives. Where is the incentive on a guaranteed contract when you're making a five, what's his face for the Brewers? What's the guy we just got rid of?
Garza.
Garza, yeah. How soon we forget. There was no incentive for that guy to pitch. There never was any incentive. He left the team in 2015 or whatever it was. He left the team. There was no incentive for him. He went home with his wife in California, was having a baby. He didn't stick around.
So all contracts should be heavy incentive-based?
I think so.
Oh.
I think so.
Well, that ain't ever going to happen.
No. But, I like it how it is in football where guaranteed.
You can just cut a guy.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Those guys got to go out there performing. If they don't, ain't coming back next year at the same rate.
I don't think. Well, I think the days of that are going to be over too.
Well, that's not happening in baseball ever because the Players Association, I think the owners would love that.
I think the NFL players are going to strike to make sure they get guaranteed contracts in a couple of years.
We'll see if that ever happens. But Arrieta, the thought was Smoltz was saying here, go out and get a 3-year deal. Put up some numbers, and then that final contract you could hit it again. He said he said maybe that's the route that he's going to have to do.
He may have to if nobody's a biter. But again, the old phrase is you only need one.
Camps are opening up this week.
Yeah, the Brewers I think is Thursday.
Camps are opening up this week, and
pitchers and catchers Thursday.
Yeah, camps are opening this week, Bart. And some of these guys don't have it. They're going to have their. The Players Association is putting together their own spring training. I want to say it's down in Florida. All these guys who are unsigned are going to have their own spring training just to work out in.
I saw an article. It was written in jest, but hey, why the hell not? Just reform the Montreal Expos and give them all the free agents.
Sure.
And let them play.
Yeah.
That team of free agents, I think, is projected to win about 84 games.
So add up all the free agents.
Projection.
So you could actually add up all the free agents to put all the position players and have a legit team?
You could have a legit team that would be above 500.
Okay.
If need be.
All right.
It's Chuck and Winkler. We're served up by Perkins. Again, it is a Bucks Tuesday. So we'll talk to Gary Wolfel, our insider, coming up in a few moments. And then it does not get more inside than talking with the man that makes the decisions. Bucks general manager John Horst will join us coming up here around 8:35 here this morning. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins, 12:50 a.m., 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. And, guys, there's nothing like maybe, she always does all the cooking in your house, most cases, There's obviously variations of that. But how about doing the cooking for her and grilling out or grilling in with meats from Roberts Specialty Meats in Waukesha? Paul Roberts loves to play Cupid, and he can help you out in all your grilling needs. Stop into Roberts Specialty Meats, south side of Waukesha on Sunset Drive there, and you can fire up the grill, to some USDA prime beef tenderloin, the bacon wrap filet. She'll love that. Maybe a New York strip, whatever. Paul Roberts got all your choices of meat. I'm putting an Al Capone pork roast into the oven, combining several meats, cheeses, seasonings into one awesome meal. Nothing like having a Valentine's Day meal at home, and you do the cooking with Meats from Roberts Specialty Meats. Set the mood early with some Roberts Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or the jerky in five distinctive flavors. They got the stuffed mushrooms there, the Kinnikinick whiskey skewers. Call them today, 262-549-MEAT for the best selection. And of course, anytime you stop by Roberts, whether you're picking up some chicken, some marinated chicken, or you're picking some of their fine cuts of meat, get some Roberts ribs on a stick. Take 2 pounds while you're at it, because 1 pound is not going to be good enough. 2 pounds, maybe 3 pounds. Have them wrap it up, and you know, whatever you don't have that night, toss it in the freezer and you cook it down the road. But it's all good. Roberts Specialty Meats with the Roberts ribs on a stick. Man, they will melt in your mouth. Guarantee it. Everybody I pointed in that direction toward any of the meats have always told me, boy, Roberts, you have not done me wrong, Freems, by pulling on Roberts. And Roberts Specialty Meats, the perfect go-to spot for your Valentine's Day dinner for your lady. Check them out online. Roberts Specialty Meats, Waukesha.com. They got some specials on there. They got some money, saving coupons to save you a buck or two. For the best of meats, go to the south side of Waukesha, Sunset Drive, in the strip mall, across from the old Kmart. Easy to get to. It's Roberts Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Again, Bucks General Manager John Horst, 835 here on Chuck and Winkler. Gary Wolfel will talk to him next.
This guy's on the inside. It's time to hear from Milwaukee basketball insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler on a Bucks Tuesday. Bucks at home tonight against the lowly Atlanta Hawks. Now without Marco Bellinelli, who the Bucks were interested in, and then he went to the Sixers instead. Bucks could still have some moves up their sleeves. We'll talk to a couple of people that may know about this. The GM, John Horst, is coming up at 8:35. Right now, our insider, Gary Wolfel. Would you say you're not as inside as John Horst, or do you know things that he doesn't? It's possible with that ownership group.
Yes, it is. Trust me on that one, okay?
So are they looking at some of these guys who've been getting buyouts?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they looked into Bogut and got slapped away by his agent, David Bauman. They looked into Marco Bellinelli, as Bart just alluded to. And I'll tell you what, I thought that would have been a huge pickup. I mean, the Bucks need off-the-bench score. They need perimeter shooting, and Bellinelli obviously fits those roles. So he could have gave him probably, you know, 10 to 12 points a game. He's a veteran player. I mean, just a great pickup for Philadelphia.
Could they be looking at some point guard help? I know there's been names that are rumored. I mean, I guess Derrick Rose. I saw some people chatting.
Would you like Derrick Rose?
No. I saw some people chatting online yesterday about maybe trying to get Brandon Jennings back here on a 10-day deal. They've got injuries, you know, at the point guard spot, and Delly can put all the funny training videos out that he wants, but they're still thin at that position for the next few weeks. Do we see anything on that front?
Well, I'm sure they're going to try to sign somebody. I mean, they must know that the East is up for grabs. You know, there's no definitive clear-cut favorite. I mean, we could go right down team by team, and each one of these teams has deficiencies. So I guess I was a little surprised that the Bucks haven't signed somebody to give them that extra lift, because I think they have a legitimate shot. I'm not saying they're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals, as somebody told me the other day, but I think they got a shot. But again, I still think they have to bolster their bench.
What is the best thing the Bucks got going for them that you think that can happen?
Well, I think the best thing they got going for them right now, besides Giannis, of course, is the return of Jabari. I mean, you know, Jabari, you know, looks pretty good. If he can get back on track, I mean, you just don't pick up 20-point-per-game scorers in the middle of the season. I mean, it's virtually impossible. And, you know, even if he doesn't come remotely close to that, He's definitely going to help them.
I thought Eric Bledsoe's been looking better as of late, too, as we talked to Gary Wolfel. Obviously, he's added a lot since he got traded here. But now the dude likes to shoot threes. Now he's actually knocking them down, man.
Yeah, I think they're flirting with fire there because that's not really his game, you know? I mean, his game is more the mid-range, taking the ball to the basket, getting out in the open court for some easy layups and stuff. But, you know, if he can improve that aspect of his game, certainly that would be a plus for the Bucks.
Yeah, you know how that is. That's sometimes fool's gold, Gary. You know, a guy.
Absolutely.
You know, when a guy starts hitting threes, he's like, okay, I hope he continues to shoot. He hits one three. You want him to keep going out there because that's the best thing that can happen for an opponent if the guy goes out there and hits that first three, because then he's going to go back to the well five or six times, and that's not going to happen again.
Yeah, precisely. And you know, Giannis gets caught up in that every once in a while. He'll hit a three, and all of a sudden he'll start shooting some more.
Mm-hmm.
And he still hasn't refined that aspect of his game. I'm not saying Giannis shouldn't shoot the three, but he shouldn't go three crazy. Yeah, and he really hasn't for the most part, but you're absolutely right, Chuck. I mean, guys get in that mindset that they're invincible and can make the three and, you know, keep launching them.
I'll tell you, Chris Middleton's three numbers are down this year. But overall, since the coaching change, I think he's taken his game to the next level. His mid-range game, I think, has really, really been good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris is a pretty darn good player. I mean, I kind of equate his situation to Jabari's last year. I think if the Bucks would have had a better record, you know, at the break, he legitimately could have been an all-star. I mean, you could say he deserved to be on the all-star team ahead of Kemba Walker and should be the next guy up, although I keep hearing from NBA people that the next guy up, if somebody gets hurt, would be the, you know, kid out of Philadelphia, Simmons.
All these guys that have got hurt for the All-Star game, as we talked to Gary Wolfel, our basketball insider, have been on Team LeBron for whatever reason.
Are you talking conspiracy here?
No, I'm just doing a classic Bart Winkler segue. Team LeBron is a completely new team, thanks to what we saw on Sunday. That new look Cavs team, I know it's just one game, but if you look at the demeanor of LeBron from any time this season to Sunday, he looks like he has this team raring to go. And if he goes to the finals with this ragtag group of misfits, I think that you could rank up there with any of his other accomplishments on any of his other teams.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, LeBron does look rejuvenated. They actually got guys that defend. Can you believe that?
Like, he looked like he was overselling how happy he was a little bit on Sunday. I mean, all of a sudden, Jordan Clarkson is his best buddy ever. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, my God, LeBron, we get it. You're happy. We get it, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, they really made some really good moves, you know, last week during the trading deadline. And, like, George Hill, for instance. I mean, what a nice pickup that is. And, again, NBA guys told me 2 years ago that Dwayne Wade was done, you know? I mean, he's going to have his moments, but especially on the defensive end, he couldn't guard anybody, you know? And all of a sudden they bring in some young guys that'll get after it. And more importantly, they're good perimeter shooters. I mean, Rodney Hood, I mean, my goodness, he could help any team. So LeBron's going to do his thing, penetrate. Those guys are going to sit on the perimeter, and they're going to get a lot of good open looks.
Why is Toronto so good? Why do you think they're so good?
DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. Lowry, too.
I mean, that, you know, you talk about windows in sports. I mean, their window is really tight. I mean, this is the year and maybe next year that Toronto has to make a run deep into the playoffs. And they got a shot. I think Dwayne Casey is a very good coach. I think their chemistry is outstanding. And, you know, we're talking about the Bucks getting to the Eastern Conference Final. It wouldn't shock me if Toronto won the East.
Well, that's a franchise that's never really taken that next step up, too.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, they got a chance. But, you know, there's probably, you know, 6-7 teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, what if the Wizards get their act together? I think their talent is as good as any talent in the Eastern Conference. But they've had issues, injury issues, internal issues. But, you know, there's plenty of time to turn that around.
Gary Wolfel, Racine Journal Times, WolfelsPressBox.com, our Milwaukee basketball insider. Last night, Steve Kerr and the Warriors trying something a little different. Steve Kerr, he essentially didn't coach his team last night, gave it up to the players. They win by about 40.
I think that's one of the first things you have to consider as a coach. It's not your team. It's not Bob Myers' team. It's not Joe Lacob's team, although I'm not going to tell Joe that. It's the players' team. It's their team, and they have to take ownership of it.
So that led me to wonder, well, if the Bucks played a game without a coach, how would they do? And then I realized, essentially, they've been playing the entire first half of the season without a true NBA head coach, right?
Wow.
There it is.
You're going to be here all morning, right, Bart?
Two drink minimum, everybody. Try the veal.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if the Bucks did do that, theoretically, you know who would be the head coach, right?
Oh, I would say Bledsoe.
What do you think, Bart?
Jason Terry.
Jason Terry, yeah. Wow. I mean, you know that, I don't know if he still does, but when Kidd was the coach, he actually sat in on the coaches' meetings.
Terry did?
Jason Terry did, yeah. So I mean,
well, he wants to be an assistant coach when he in the worst way when he gets out of this thing. Yeah,
yeah. Hey, wasn't he going to leave after Kidd got fired?
He said if the Kidd was going to get fired, you might as well get rid of him.
Yeah, so he has hung around after all.
What was he going to say? He's got to stick up for his buddy.
Yeah. Well, you can't say that. I mean, you can't make edicts or declarations to management, you know, when you're a 40-year-old player. That was kind of silly, but
he's actually played better now that Kidd is gone.
Yeah,
well, exactly. He's getting more court time, so you know, things can't be all bad. I mean, Jason's a good guy and he plays hard and he brings, you know, some good things to that table for the Bucks. But that was just a silly comment.
Yeah, yeah. I he might have just been saying it in jest as well. But
although he did, I mean, I would say let's not take everything Jason Terry says seriously. But Jason Terry's one of the guys who did on Media Day say we're going to win 50 games, and I keep referring back to that. So,
and he told me 2 years ago they were going to win the Eastern Conference. So.
Well, hey, maybe. I know they didn't trade Rodney Hood or George Hill, but
you got to stay optimistic, you know. So,
do you think that the fact that they did not make a move on trade deadline day, that's going to hurt them?
I don't know. I think, like I said before, the Eastern Conference is in such a state of flux. I mean, right now, Cleveland's got the best talent. I mean, but the problem is they don't have the best chemistry, and it's really tough to integrate players in the middle of the season. I mean, much less one. They got like three or four guys that they got to change their roles with. But again, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the Wizards. I still, they're my sleeper pick in the East. I mean, when you got Wall and Beal, and a pretty solid front court to go with it, they could be dangerous. But, I think, you know, if the Bucks don't get to the Eastern Conference Final, I think that could come back to bite them.
Gary, appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. Or if the Bucks pick up Brandon Jennings, we'll have an emergency phone call with you.
That sounds wonderful.
Gary Wolfel.
We'll see you guys.
Thanks, buddy. Racine Journal Times, WolfelsPressBox.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935. Bucks GM John Horst will join us here in 5 minutes. So 5 minutes from now is very soon. Also very soon is tomorrow, which is Valentine's Day. So now is the time to act. You can still get delivery in, get a Valentine's Day gift with Sherry's Berries. Got my order in. We got the flowers coming. The berries are always delicious. Went with the box of 12. These are fresh, juicy strawberries. And then they dip them in the milk, white, or dark chocolate. And they are very good. And then they top them with the chocolate chips or the chopped nuts and the signature swizzles. It's a very hard gift to get for somebody and then to watch them enjoy it and then not enjoy it yourself. So you could politely ask for a berry for yourself, or you could order a box for you, and then you could have more berries. They're very good. They're very big, juicy, thick, very good. Choose the delivery date. It's guaranteed. Customer satisfaction always number one. or your money back. A gift from Sherry's Berries is the perfect way to make a big impression this Valentine's Day. Think inside the box. Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. Your berries, again, arrive in Sherry's Berries' signature gift box with a beautiful ribbon. No gift wrap required. Right now, listeners can send Sherry's Berries or any of their decadent gourmet gifts to their Valentine. Save 20% on gifts over $29 with the promo code WINKLER. Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. But there's only one way to get 20% off an unforgettable gift over $29 from Sherry's Berries. Go to berries.com. B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Enter the code WINKLER at checkout. That's berries.com. Code WINKLER. John Horst, Bucks GM. Next.
It's Bucks Tuesday on Chuck and Winkler. Now the all-access Bucks conversation on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Bucks Tuesday continues. The Bucks have the Hawks at home tonight. Couple of home games. And in the All-Star break, Bucks Tuesday brought to you by Frontier Motor Cars, your new car alternative, South 27th Street. Get your car, get your credit and a warranty to frontiermotorcars.net. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, the general manager for your Milwaukee Bucks, John Horst, joins the show. John, appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you this fine Bucks Tuesday?
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, it's great to have you aboard. You know, a trading deadline, the team has been active. You know, you were there in another role when the team seemed like trading deadline day. They'd always, you know, pull off a move or two, but you decided to stay pat. What did you see with this team that you thought that maybe other additions were not going to be beneficial to these guys?
Well, I think you're right in the fact that we stayed pat on the day of the trade deadline. But if you actually look at the evolution of our team beginning of the season, we've done quite a bit. So, we added Eric Bledsoe early, which was a significant transaction. We got Jabari Parker back, which is a significant transaction and opportunity for this franchise. And then we made a trade for Tyler Zeller. And also in the middle of all that, we had a coaching change. So, we've done quite a bit. We've gotten the team to the point where we're really, really happy with who we have, and we trust in this group. And when the actual trade deadline day came around, we felt really confident with the group that we had that going forward, this is a team that that can compete in the upper half of the Eastern Conference and hopefully make some noise in the playoffs.
When you see a team like the Cavs do what they did on trade deadline day, and not that you guys haven't been active throughout the season, as you mentioned, when you see a team like the Cavs, do you say, man, I'm jealous they were able to make so many moves? Or do you kind of smirk a little bit saying, boy, it must have been a mess over there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think, again, we've been active. They obviously made a big, big splash on the day of the trade deadline. But I think, you know, if you listen to the comments of their general manager, Kobe Altman, and the owner, and the things that they talked about, they were a team that felt like they needed to make some changes to get to where they want to get. I think the comment they used is they were trying to prevent kind of a slow march to death. And, you know, that's by no means where we are right now in the evolution of our franchise and our team. So, we're really happy with the group that we had kind of going into that week. We made the move for Tyler, which we think was a kind of a smart play to help us not only down the stretch this year but going forward. And, Cleveland did what they did, but I think we're happy where we're at today.
Have you seen a mood change in this team? I'm not necessarily the corporate playing the court course, they're 8-2 under Prunty, but I mean, you may be a little different look to this team in that locker room.
Yeah. Joe is our head coach, and so he's one of the leaders of this franchise. And because of that, he's going to have an impact on the energy, on the environment, on the culture. And we have seen a change. We've seen a positive change. Our guys, I think, are responding well to Joe and the staff and, playing the type of basketball that we hope they could play. And we hope to continue to do that on a consistent basis as we go down the stretch here.
John Horst, Bucks GM, joining us. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. So Joe Prunty obviously is off to a pretty good start. I think of active coaches, he's had the best start outside of Steve Kerr. And there's been a lot of discussion as you guys move towards this new arena about what the team's going to look like with this new era of Bucks basketball. So I think the assumption is to go into a new arena, you want a big name. But I have to imagine there's been some conversations about Joe so far and the job that he's doing and what a future might look like with him. So I'm picturing, John, that in your office you've got, or maybe it's in your head, but you've got a checklist of, well, if Joe misses the playoffs, no interview. If he reaches second round, interview. If he wins finals, he's the coach. What kind of conversations have you had about the job Joe Prunty needs to do to stay the head coach of this team?
So I don't think that the checklist is that concrete as what you laid it out. I think, and also, you know, the idea of hunting a big name is not the case. What we're hunting for this franchise is the people and the partners that fit the organization, the culture, the character that we want, and they can help us get to the point that we want to get. And just like we said when we started and Joe earned this opportunity, we said that he and this staff have every opportunity to be part of our process this summer in which we're going to find the long-term coach for this franchise. And winning is a big part of that. Joe's success, we want Joe to have success. We want the staff, this team to have success because overall we're all having success. And they're doing the best that they can do. And they'll continue to be considered and evaluated just like everything else that we do as we go into the offseason.
Chris Middleton seems like he's really played well in the last month. What do you see in his game that he's kind of taken to the next level? I mean, mid-range, you know, you like his three-point shooting to be a little better, but in mid-range he's still hitting those turnarounds, and he's been a big part of their, when he's on the floor, their success as of late.
Yeah, Chris is playing at an extremely high level. He's a go-to guy for us down the stretch of the games. I think he's starting to shoot the ball more consistently when he's open like he has throughout his career. And just overall, I think Chris mentally and physically feels really good right now, and he's been playing at a high level for us. And it's nice to have options of guys to go to down the stretch that you know when they have the ball that they're going to make a great decision, whether it's getting a shot for themselves or for a teammate, but that you can trust them with the ball. And Chris is one of those guys, and he's helped us immensely down this these last few weeks.
Bucks general manager John Horst joining us on a Bucks Tuesday. Throughout when we've heard from you, John, you've talked about how you're always continually trying to improve the team, and that's good. That's what I would assume is the role of a general manager. Where are you guys looking at right now? I know the trade deadline came and went. This buyout process is, I think, very fluid and goes very fast. I guess what happens a lot when we talk to people, John, is that we'll talk to somebody, and then like 2 hours later, there's like news from the team. So if you have any news you want to tell us, you could do that now maybe. Or where are you guys sort of at with the buyout kind of stuff?
Yeah, no news. I guess the fluidity of this business, who knows, in 2 hours you could see something. But I can promise you at the moment that we've got nothing kind of in the ranks. But the buyout market is an interesting market, and that is the stage of which what we're in this season right now, and how you kind of look at the next stage to improve your team. The buyout market's an interesting one. We're a team that I think if we decide to be a player in that we'll be able to, because we've got a good team, we've got some great talent, and we're positioned well in the conference right now for the playoffs. So players will have interest in us. But again, if there's something that's significant or something that's really special, we'll consider it. If there's just something, you know, we're not going to make moves just to make moves. So we're going to continue to evaluate, try to make the right moves. And if some of those come available, or, you know, guys are starting to come back from China, some European free agents will start to pop. Those are options that we'll look at. But, you know, again, that's not something we're going to do just to do it. We'll do it if we really feel like it can make a big difference for us.
I saw a report where the Brooklyn general manager, Sean Marks, said you really wanted Tyler Zeller. It was irrelevant what you were going to give up for him, but that you really wanted him. Is that true? And what intrigued you so much with Zeller?
Well, it definitely wasn't irrelevant what we gave up for him. But we did identify Tyler. There was a group of guys similar to Tyler in talent, in contract status, that we identified that we thought could help us. So the things specifically with Tyler is he's not a short-term piece, so he's under contract this year and next year with us if we so choose. He fits us physically. You know, some of the things that we felt like we needed to, you know, as we get in the playoffs and match up against some of the teams that have bigger starting fives, more physical starting fives, Tyler gives us a different look. Don and John have played at an extremely high level, but Tyler and Marshall, to some extent, depending on what his role will be with us in the playoffs, those guys just give us a different look. They're physically different than John and Don. They both, you know, Tyler has the ability to stretch the floor. He's shot threes here recently. So for us, it was a combination of player, person, and contract that we targeted him and pursued him, and we're lucky to get him.
Bucks GM John Horst joining us, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. There's also been some – we're looking ahead. Okay, so obviously we look ahead a lot, and next season there's not a lot of teams with cap space. Teams are fighting that luxury tax. How do you, as a general manager, try to get the best team now, but then also kind of look forward? Because there's one guy that's very obvious to a lot of Bucks fans that they want to see here for a while and are very interested in the negotiations of that contract with Jabari Parker. How's that coming along? When's the plan to lock him up, if that is the plan? And then how do you fight the cap for next year with... Because there may the market just not may not be as big as it would be in a normal year for a guy even as talented as Jabari.
No, it's a great point, Bart. And for us, obviously we study the amount of space. We study teams that we think they'll have interest or needs that are relative to our roster. We study all of those things. But ultimately, we know, you know, as we've you know, extended Giannis and we've paid Chris, and we've got guys like Eric Bledsoe and Tony Snell, you know, Jabari coming, and then players going forward. We know that as we're positioned now, this core group, that we're not going to really be positioned to have significant cap space. So for us, flexibility comes in the mode of, you know, drafting well and having contracts that are tradable, signing contracts that are tradable, and just creating flexibility in those ways to be able to be transactional and to do things to change the team. But also, the reason that you get locked into a team is because you believe in it. And we believe in this group. We believe in the core of this group. And Jabari's a big part of that. And so we had really productive and positive conversations with Jabari and his representation throughout the extension period. We weren't able to land on an extension, but that's okay. That happens a lot. There's very often guys don't get extensions. We still have Jabari's restricted rights going into free agency. And we have a great relationship with him and a great relationship with his agent. And so we'll continue to have those conversations when it's appropriate and try to get to an agreement and keep Jabari a part of this thing.
Do you have is there a cutoff for him? Do you plan to match anything, or where are you guys with Jabari in that sense?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that right now. It's not fair to Jabari organization, but what I would tell you again is that we do have a great relationship and dynamic with Jabari and his agent. We went through the extension process in a really positive way, and we feel really good about our opportunity to keep him part of the organization.
Do you see his minutes getting better, increasing as the weeks go on here? I know they didn't play in the back-to-back the other night in Orlando, but you see slowly those numbers going up?
Yeah, Chuck, that's a good question. For sure, I think that you'll see it. So within the 20-minute range now, I think you'll see it go to 25, and those aren't hard limits. Coach knows he has a few minutes on either side of that he can kind of work with Jabari. We'll get into the All-Star break, and then after the All-Star break, we'll kind of see how he feels relative to back-to-backs and minute restrictions. But everything's been really positive so far with Jabari, with the way he's played, the way he's felt, and I think we'll just hopefully look to see that continue to increase as the season goes on.
Do you have an update on Mirza, how he's doing and what that situation is right now?
So Mirza, when it all happened, we put our release out. You know, there's kind of a 3-month period for Mirza where we do a lot of evaluating and testing, consulting with doctors. It's a serious issue, obviously. And so we're in the process of that right now, of meeting with the doctors and getting results and just kind of figuring out where everything is at before we kind of make any comments or statements going forward. But that thing is not a quick turnaround. It's a really serious issue. And we want to just continue to support Mirza and his family as he goes through this and make sure that whatever we find out and whatever solution and direction we pick is the right one for him and for the organization.
This is your last chance, Bucks GM John Horst. If there is any news you want to get off your chest, if anyone should be bringing their old yes. Brandon Jennings out to the jerseys to the arena this week or anything like that, any news, John, news?
There is no Bucks news that I have to update you guys with.
Okay, awesome. So they're going to sign someone at noon is what
they
mean.
He got away scot-free. We didn't get him. Hey, we didn't get him fined like Magic Johnson in Los Angeles. He didn't comment on free agency this summer.
Yeah, John, what do you think of Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard?
Come on.
Would they be good in a Bucks uniform? All right. John, appreciate your time. Good to talk to you, and we'll check in down the road.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
John Horst, Bucks general manager, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, if you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home construction or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored, common sense mortgage products since 1935.
It looks great to see the Bucks at 31-24. Now, that may not sound much. I mean, if you're a Golden State fan or Boston, you know, that's, you know, you're expected to be, you know, where you are. But where the Bucks have been for so many years, Bart, to see them here at the All-Star break, 7 games over the 500 mark, and having won 8 of their last 10, that they're this far over the 500 mark, man, it's just it's kind of a cool thing to see.
It's Chuck and Winkler. I would agree. Part of what I was trying to do there is I was trying to get Jabari. I'm negotiating on Jabari's behalf, so that's what I was trying to do.
Well, why don't you just ask him about LeBron while you're at it?
Yeah, is LeBron coming or not?
25%, you know.
Yeah, is he going to come? Our thanks again to Bucks GM John Horst. We'll kind of review what we just heard from the Bucks general manager in a couple of minutes, because I have been able to successfully negotiate on behalf of people, or at least get the ball rolling, by telling you about Young Express. Young Express, they're looking for people in their dispatch department. Now, even if you've never done a job like dispatching, you've never been a dispatcher, you barely even know what it is, they're going to train you every step of the way. That's what they do at Young Express. They give you the tools to succeed, no matter if it's the sales positions, if you want to be a driver, a transporter, or in dispatch. They're looking for people with good math skills, people that can multitask, good phone skills. Can you navigate a computer? They would hope that you can. And over, since everything's computer-based these days, are you friendly? That's a big one. If you meet those check marks, they are looking for you. They'll offer a competitive hourly wage to keep you gainfully employed. Paid holidays, vacation time, the 401k, the health plan, all that and more. YoungExpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. Young Express success drives us. Bucks GM John Horst just joined us. What did we learn? 414-799-1250. More from you guys coming up.
The idea of hunting a big name is not the case. What we're hunting for this franchise is the people and the partners that fit the organization, the culture, the character that we want, and they can help us get to the point that we want to get. And just like we said when we started and Joe earned this opportunity, we said that he and this staff have every opportunity to be part of our process this summer, in which we're going to find the long-term coach for this franchise.
Bucks GM John Horst joining us moments ago on a Bucks Tuesday. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. You remember when Jason Kidd got fired? I think the next day of programming on the Fan was roulette wheel of unemployed or employed basketball coaches we could name.
Oh, yeah.
And that sort of has gone away over the last couple of weeks. One big reason for that is that the Bucks are playing very well under Joe Prunty. I'd have to confirm that stat, but I do believe that it's, of all the current coaches, Prunty's off to the second best start of any of them outside of Steve Kerr.
Okay, I mean, he's had a little favorable schedule. We know that. He's got some tough games coming up here, though. Denver's going to be tough coming up. I mean, he's got Atlanta's terrible. Atlanta's at the Bradley Center tonight. Atlanta's terrible. But then after the All-Star break, Toronto, New Orleans, Washington, Detroit. 4 tough games out of the chute. Right after the All-Star break, Bart. 4 very tough games.
They got the Hawks tonight, the Nuggets, as you mentioned, yep. Thursday. I was freaking out. I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, this is so weird. There's a weekend coming up with no Bucks basketball.
Yeah.
What is going on? And then the All-Star game. I completely spaced.
They got 8 days off.
Because they don't play the next Friday.
They play Thursday, and then they won't play the following Friday, yeah.
So even like with Giannis, like in the NBA, or no, in the MLB, If you're at the All-Star game, you don't get a break. You're traveling. You got to do the festivities. Yeah. But in the NBA, Giannis will be able to return Sunday night or Monday and then have a bunch of days off. So, yeah, that is a welcome thing for, I think, every team. The shenanigans from Steve Kerr last night lead to that. The Warriors are tired. Other teams you can see are tired. These teams want to get their new teams acclimated if you're a team like the Cavs, and they're going to have plenty of time to do that. It'll suck not having NBA for a week.
Sure.
But it'll be good for the teams, a much-needed break.
All-Star game should be a little earlier. I mean, look at the calendar here. It's at the end of February, basically, and then you got the month of March and 2 weeks of April, or a week and a half of April. The NBA, this time of the year, there's nothing going on. shouldn't the NBA take its All-Star game mid-January when you have football going on and maybe, you know, have some games in February, take advantage of it being a dead month?
They're going
8 days without playing in the month of February.
They could do what hockey's been up to this year. So hockey, every team gets like a week off, mm-hmm. but at various times. They almost get like a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
So the NBA could do that. Maybe you have a game Thursday night, the All-Star game Sunday, and then pick it back up Tuesday. But then at some point in the season, you get a week or a week and a half off. Well, yeah. I would like that because that would keep games going.
I don't have any problem with them taking this much time off. I just think it's a tough time. In February, you should be playing games and take the All-Star break maybe in January so you prevent some of these teams from tiring out this time of the year.
Hey, it's more Olympics you have time to watch. Because
they're coming back, and they've basically got 6 weeks, 7 weeks left of the season.
NBA's going off at the perfect time. You can watch all the two-man lose you want.
Yeah. I don't think so. You know, but when the Olympics aren't going on, okay, next week, there isn't going to be any. Spring training camps are opening up, okay? But there's, I just think maybe you take advantage. The NBA should take advantage of playing in the month of February.
Would you ever luge? Would you ever get on a luge? Is it called a luge?
It's
a sled.
Let me tell you something, Claire. I was going to go down. Me and my six-year-old were going to go down the Lambeau Field sledding hill on Saturday. But it was too cold.
Too cold?
Yeah, it was like 9 degrees.
Close it or you're just too...
Nine degrees, I was going to take him down to slow the hill.
Yeah, an alpha male would have gone down at 9 degrees.
Well, not if he wants to, doesn't want to freeze his you-know-what off. An alpha male might, but he'd also come down frostbite.
Chuck and Winkler were served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. More on the Bucks, John Horst. Good conversation with him. Our Twitter Tuesday question, which Olympic sport do you hate? We'll have that as well. And how about some five for frames? Okay, you sound pumped. Chuck and Winkler.
Oh, I thought you were talking to them. I didn't know you were talking to me.
I'm always talking to you.
Oh.
Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.